fact is, every disciple is called to witness. Just take your pen and fill the words every and called. Every disciple is called to witness. First he says, come, follow me. Then he says, I will send you out. It doesn't take special skill. It just takes knowing him. If you've received Jesus' grace, you can give grace. If you've been forgiven, you can forgive others. If you've been set free, you can tell people the way of escape. Through following Jesus, you are called to witness. That's what Christ told us in Matthew 5, 13 to 16. He said to his people, you are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. And Jesus says the same thing to you today. He doesn't say, hopefully one day you might be the light of the world. He doesn't say, maybe in future you will be. But he says, you are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. No matter who you are, no matter your background, no matter what you've done, whether you're a person known or unknown in society, you are therefore a person of influence. Jesus has given you the challenge to be influential in your world. And unfortunately, many of us don't realize that today. We think the world has become so big and we see ourselves so small and we say, what difference can I make? I'm just one person. But friend, think about what Jesus did here when he spoke these words. He was preaching to thousands of people on a hillside, talking to them about the salt and light. He was talking to ordinary people, to market women and carpenters and cooks and cleaners. He was talking to poor people and uneducated people, as well as the wealthy and the well-informed. He was speaking to politicians and lawyers and moms with three children. He was talking to teachers and students, and he said to all of them, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. There is no other option for us but to become the people God has declared for us to be and become a witness in our world. Why are we looking for another solution to the problem of laborers? You are God's answer for the need for witnesses in the world. Reminds me of the fact that one day a young lady was going home from church, and as she was walking home, she saw a little beggar girl on the side of the road. The girl was poor and impoverished. She had dirty rags on, and she was hungry with her gaunt cheeks. She held out her hand, and the young lady dropped a few coins in her hand and went on home. When she got home, the image she'd seen haunted her, and she couldn't forget it, and she began to wonder, why couldn't I do more? Why didn't I do more? But then she turned her questions to God, and she said, oh God, why have you allowed this? Why is a loving, good God allowing suffering in the world? God, why don't you do something to help this girl? And suddenly the Holy Spirit spoke to her and said, I did do something. I sent you. You are the answer. You and I are the ones God has created and called to be the light of the world. You and I are the ones he's called to be a witness. But not only that, God has promised to empower us, to equip us, to resource us. For when Jesus was ascending to heaven, he said this in Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And this great challenge that Jesus has given us to follow him and fish for men, this great task of being the light of the world and the salt of the earth, is not left to our own cunning or our own imagination or to our own abilities. It has been promised to us that the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon us, and when he does, we will witness to him everywhere. Tell your neighbor, you're a person of influence. Put your hand on your chest and say, I'm a person of influence. I am a witness. The fact is, friends, you may not realize it, but you are already witnessing one way or the other. You're already making an influence. For in this passage where Jesus called us the salt and light, he acknowledged that there are some people who are salt that have lost their saltiness. And there are some lights that are being hid. And the fact is, you've got to realize today, you're already witnessing for something or somebody. The question is, what impact are you making? But you see, all of us have people that we know that we have an influence over. We have the people we live with, our family, our neighbors, those you work with, those at your school, those at the chop bar where you eat every day, the woman selling cocoa. You have people you ride with in the tro-tro. You have people you meet in your daily chores. We all have people we can influence. And the fact is, most of us have no idea how wide our influence actually spreads. In fact, some of the people that you are interacting with every day may not be all that important in society, but they have the ability to touch someone and influence someone who can make a difference in this nation or in the world. Someone taught Kofi Annan how to read. Someone taught Michael Essien how to play football. Someone witnessed to Pastor Mensa Odabil and brought him to Christ. Someone came to me when I had a call to go and preach and gave me the money I used to begin Bible school. And sometimes the people who have the greatest influence aren't the ones we see and know, but those behind the scene who influence others. You already have influence, but how are you using that influence? For good or for evil? Whether we like it or not, we are either bringing people to Christ or driving them away. This week, I posted on my Facebook page an excerpt from last Sunday's message. I talked about the fact that it's important to believe, but it's even more important to belong. And a young man from right here in Accra wrote back on my page. This is what he said. I want to belong to Christ, but how? My heart is full of hatred for all Christians because they are not acting according to Christ. How many people in Accra, in Ghana, in the world want to be a part of God's kingdom, but they've been stopped or hindered by the conduct of those who claim to be children of God? Our influence hasn't brought people to Christ. It's driven them away. That's what happened to the great Indian philosopher, Mahatma Gandhi. Mahatma Gandhi is known as one of the most respected leaders and philosophers of modern history. A Hindu, Gandhi nevertheless admired Jesus and often quoted from the Sermon on the Mount. Once the famous missionary E. Stanley Jones met Gandhi and asked him, "Mr. Gandhi, though you quote the words of Jesus, why is it that you appear to be adamantly refusing to come to be his follower?" Gandhi said this, "Oh, I don't reject your Christ. I love your Christ. It's just that so many of you Christians are so unlike the Christ you claim to follow." Apparently, Gandhi's rejection of Christianity stemmed from the time when he was living as a young man in South Africa, and he went to a church where they didn't allow people of other races. And an elder of the church stood at the door and banned his entrance and said, "We don't want your kind here." And Gandhi left that Sunday morning and said, "I will never, ever become a Christian." So let me ask you a question today. Are you drawing people to Christ or driving them away? But see, the truth is, you cannot be neutral. It's either one or the other. If you live to follow Jesus, men will be attracted to Jesus. But if you live a carnal, selfish, sin-filled life, you will drive men away. That's why Jesus said in Luke 11:23, "Anyone who isn't with me opposes me. And anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me." So either you're fishing for men or rejecting men. Either you're drawing men to Christ or driving them away. God has called us to follow him, and we will become fishers of men. In just a few minutes, I'm going to give everyone in this room an opportunity to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to give you the mechanism by which you can be a witness in your home, in your community, and in this nation. In just a minute, I'm going to tell you how all of us can fulfill Christ's command. But there's one other truth we need to learn before we do that. So turn your notes over to page 3 and discover this. Everybody is my mission field. Everybody is my mission field. Jesus said, come follow me. Then he said, I will send you out. And then he said this, I will send you out to fish for people. Not anybody specific, but everybody, everybody, everybody around you. See, just as we are called to be disciples, so God is calling the world to himself today. He's calling all to be saved. And the fact is, unsaved people remain all around us. There are millions of people in Ghana who aren't Christians. They're in our homes. They're in our schools. They're in our working place. They shop where you shop. They eat where you eat. They ride the vehicle you ride in. And in spite of the great work of evangelism in Ghana, in spite of all our churches and pastors and preachers, in spite of all the effort, there remain millions who are perishing without Christ. The great prophet Joel saw prophetically when he looked out at his nation and he said this, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Jesus, when he looked out at his religious nation of Israel, saw the same thing. He didn't look at their outward appearance or their religious attendance. He looked at them spiritually. And it says in Matthew 9, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord of the harvest who will send out laborers into the field. And I pray today that you can see prophetically like Joel saw. I pray that you can see spiritually like Jesus saw. I pray that you can see beyond the exterior veneer of the people who live all around you and see them in the spirit bound by sin. See them in the spirit bound by the devil. See them headed with blinders on their eyes and chains on their feet, marching, marching, marching to hellfire without Jesus Christ. Friends, it's not how people appear outwardly that should motivate us to witness. It's how Jesus sees them. The rich young ruler looked so successful, but Jesus saw an emptiness inside him that others overlooked. The woman who was caught in adultery looked too sinful to be saved, but Jesus saw beyond her sin that she could be redeemed. Nicodemus looked too religious, but Jesus saw a spiritual deadness inside of him. And I challenge you today, don't give up on any soul. Don't say this person cannot be reached. If you've invited before, invite them again. For Jesus says in Luke 14:23, go out into the highways and byways and hedges and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. You may have invited someone in the time past, but you need to invite them again. Someone may have rejected the gospel, but you need to go again. Go out into the highways and byways. We have empty chairs in the balcony. We have empty seats on the side. We need to go out and compel them to come in because I want my Father's house to be filled. And if we fill this service, we'll start another one and fill that again and start another one. I will preach till I can't speak again. I will stand in the pulpit until they have to carry me out because I've collapsed from exhaustion. I want my daddy's house filled. And when we fill this house, let's fill the neighborhood and the community and the nation and the world. For his love is beautiful. So all around the world, let the praise begin. We've got to do whatever it takes. We've got to act with passion and fervency. For Christ commands us to bring them in. In Matthew 18, 12 to 14, Jesus said this, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others on the hills and go out to search for the one that is lost? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he will rejoice over it more than over the 99 that didn't wander away. In the same way, it is not my heavenly Father's will that even one of these little ones should perish. So I will go as a light. I will go as the salt. I will go as a witness, and I will not keep quiet, and I will not stop. I will go in the highways and the byways. I'll go to the depths of Okpongolo. I'll go to anywhere in this community and anywhere in this city or nation until I see the whole house filled. I won't stop, even if there's only one remaining. I must go and win them to Christ. And when we have that passion, like a mother for her child, like a shepherd for his sheep, like a savior for the lost, we will go. That's what happened to Maria and her daughter Christina. Many years ago, there was a little woman called Maria. She got involved in immorality when she was a youth and unexpectedly became pregnant. The baby's father didn't show any interest in her and ran away. And there Maria was left alone, poor. Thinking she'd found the good life, she ended up in ruin. But she made a determination that she would raise her child, Christina, in the better way. And so even though she was poor, she left the lifestyle of promiscuity and set to working with her hands, preparing food and selling it. And she determined that throughout the life of her child, Christina, she would always advise her, be careful of the lifestyle that looks so bright, but is actually darkness. Unfortunately, as Christina became a teenager, she saw television and movies, and she began to desire those bright lights of the city. She wanted to go to the capital and become an actress or a singer. She wanted to wear nice dresses and polish her fingers and polish her face. She wanted to go and have her hair done and be on TV. She wanted to be a star. Her mother, Maria, kept trying to advise her that that life would end in heartbreak, that men would only use and abuse her, but Christina wouldn't listen. So one night when Maria was sleeping, Christina secretly packed her bags, took her little money, and went to the station, caught a bus to the city. When Maria woke up in the morning, she knew what had happened. Her daughter had been deceived by all that this world offers. Maria thought and decided there was only one thing she could do. She would spend every peso. She would use whatever resources she had. She would go and find her daughter and bring her home. So she packed up her few belongings, she went to the bank and withdrew her life savings, and she boarded a bus to the very same city. When she got there, the first thing she did was go to a photographer and take 100 pictures of herself. And then she started on her journey. In every zongo, in every slum, in every God-forsaken neighborhood where men carouse and where women prostitute themselves, she went to the thieves and the drug dealers looking for her daughter. And in every shoddy hotel, in every bar and beer parlor, she would ask of her daughter and then pin her own picture in that venue. Finally, after some weeks, all her pictures were gone, all her money was gone, and Maria sat on the roadside weeping, for she had not found her daughter. She had to trust that the seed she had sown would bear fruit. Maria got on the bus and went back home, but a few weeks later, God, in his mercy, did something miraculous. One night, after having been abused and used, one night after having been ravaged once again, selling her body, Christina came down the steps of a very shoddy hotel. Her hair was messed up. Her dress was torn. She was hungry and had nothing to eat. But as she came down the steps of the hotel, suddenly she saw her mother's photograph. What is my mother's photograph doing in this hotel? How did my mother's picture get there? And immediately, Christina went and took the picture off the wall and held it in her trembling hands. Tears began to come down her cheek, and for some reason, she turned it over, and there she saw her mother's handwriting, who had written the words, "No matter what you've done, no matter what you've become, I love you. Please come home. Mother." When Christina saw the love of a mother who would not give up, when Christina saw the picture of her mom and the forgiveness she offered, when Christina saw that there was still hope, She packed her few bags, took her little money, and went home. A prodigal came home because a mother would not stop searching. There are prodigals all around us today. There are men and women who don't go to church, who haven't accepted Christ. There are people who used to serve Him, but they're backslidden. They haven't come to church in years. They're living a careless, sin-filled life, but there's an emptiness inside. For the devil will use you and break you and cast you out. They need you to tell them, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've become, God loves you. Please come home. I'm committing myself to do whatever it takes to win the lost. I'm committing myself to do whatever it takes to bring the prodigal home. I'm committing myself to compel them to come in. For Jesus said, come, follow me. Go, make disciples.